In the gospel reading today, we are told that above the head of our Lord was the inscription that said, "This is the King of the Jews." That was his crime. That was the reason that he was put to death. The interesting part of that, however, is that he was actually only demonstrated to be the king after he died. So we have these people jeering at him and saying, "You saved others, save yourself if you are the king of Israel." The fact of the matter is, he is the king of Israel because he didn't save himself. We could look at it and say, but if he would have just come down from the cross, that would have been such an amazing miracle, we all would have believed in him. Believed in what? Your sins are only forgiven because he didn't come down from the cross. There are lots of people who have worked extraordinary things over the centuries. Not a single one of them do we say, "This is the Messiah. This is the King of the Jews." Not one. Jesus alone is the Christ. Jesus alone is the King because he stayed on the cross. He could have come off the cross if he wanted to. He's God. He didn't even have to get on the cross. He wanted to, he could have just used his divine power and wiped out all the soldiers who were there. Remember Elijah, when they came after him, he called down fire from the sky and it wiped out all the soldiers that were coming after him. Our Lord could have done the same thing if he wanted to. He didn't have to go to the cross if he didn't want to. But he chose it and he embraced it. And the interesting thing about that inscription above his head is that it told the truth, not of a crime, but the truth of who he is. He is the King. And what we have to understand is that he is not the King because he is God. He is God from all eternity, and in that sense, he, of course, is infinitely above everything else that exists. But he's not the king because of his divinity. He is the king because of what he did on the cross and in his resurrection. Because he died and rose from the dead, because he is our redeemer, he is the king. Not because he is God. And that's the important thing, again, for us to understand. It would be easy for us to be able to say, well, of course, God is king. And he is. But for us to say that Jesus is the king of the universe, it's because he took our human nature to himself. And in taking our human nature, when he went to the cross, as St. Paul says, he took our sins and nailed them to the cross in our humanity. And so it was precisely in the fact of his dying and then rising from the dead that our sins are forgiven and that he is demonstrated to be our king. So we have to recognize that, as it says, who he is right above his head, he is the king because he didn't come down from the cross. He is the king because he stayed on the cross. Now, when we look at that whole point of being the king, we first have to go back to what we heard in the first reading about King David. Remember, at that point, Israel had separated. There were two different kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Israel to the north and the kingdom of Judah to the south. And at this point, David was the king of Judah. For 7 years, he had been the king of Judah, and he was reigning in Hebron. And then the Israelites came after their king died, and they said, "Be our king." They anointed him the king, not only of Judah then, but of Israel. So the two kingdoms came back together to form one nation. And that's when David moved to Jerusalem. And he reigned from Jerusalem then for 33 years after that. And so we see then that point of the king being the point of unity. And that, of course, is who Jesus is, the point of unity, the point of truth, the point of love. But we have to even look a little bit before all of that. Because even though it is a wonderful thing for Israel that they came back together to be a united kingdom, the problem is that they weren't supposed to be that in the first place. If we go back and we read what the prophet Samuel had to say, or really what the people said to Samuel, they said, "We want you to anoint for us a king." And Samuel said, "No, God is the king of Israel." And the people said, "We don't want God to be our king." Think about that. We do not want God to be our king. We want to be just like everyone else, they said. Make us a human king. Anoint for us someone who will be the king in Israel. And when Solomon was, or when Samuel was so depressed by this, he went to the Lord, and God just said, "Anoint for them a king." He said, it's not you they're rejecting, Samuel, it's me that they're rejecting. They didn't want God to be their king. But now look at what has happened with our blessed Lord. He is God. And so we have a chance once again to get the order correct, to do things the way that was intended for God to be our king. But God is our king in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, it's one thing for the people of Israel to look at it and say, of course God is king. But for us to be able to look at it and say, why? Why do we say that God is king? Because exactly what Jesus said, "I didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for the many." So we tend to think in our earthly way that the king is the one who is served by everyone else. We serve the king. But Jesus turns it exactly the opposite way. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to give his life for us. And that's what we can understand as our king, because he is a king of love. He did everything out of love for us. But in doing that, then we listen to what St. Paul said in the second reading. He said that we give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Exactly the points we were just talking about. The kingdom of Christ is because we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. But now we have been taken away from the kingdom of Satan and transferred to the kingdom of Christ, taken from the darkness and brought into the light. And so, although our Lord is indeed the king of the universe, whether people want him to be their king or not doesn't matter. He is the king of the entire universe. However, what does matter is our choice. You see, the wonderful thing is that if there was somebody who was just simply made the king, you don't have any option in it. He's the king. In this case, because it is charity, our Lord will not force himself on anyone. Instead, he invites us. Remember even what he told us, when he's lifted up from the earth, then he will draw people to himself. So it's to the cross, that's the throne upon which he was made the king. That's where he's going to draw us to himself. And in that drawing, each one of us has to make a choice of whether or not we are going to allow him to be our king. And that's the challenge for us now to look at. Every one of us can look into our own hearts and ask the simple question, is Jesus truly the king of my life? Is he the king who reigns in my heart? Is he truly the center of my life? If he is the king, then I'm going to follow his orders. I'm going to follow his directives. I'm going to live my life according to the way that he lays out. I'm going to follow him because he's the one who's leading us. Ask yourself now, as you look into your own heart, does that sound like me? Do I actually want Jesus to be the king of my life? In other words, not just the lip service. Like I said, he's the king of the whole universe. Even Satan can say, yeah, he's the king, so what? I don't want him. You can say the same thing. So what he wants is for you to make a choice. Because the kingdom of Christ, as we'll hear in the preface, it's a kingdom of charity, it's a kingdom of love, it's a kingdom of peace, it's a kingdom of justice, it's a kingdom of righteousness, all these things we can say, but it's a kingdom of charity. Our Lord went to the cross because he loves us. He went to the cross to take away our sins, so that in baptism we are baptized into him, so that you and I become kings, or a queen if you want to look at it from that perspective. You share the royal office. You are a priest, you are a prophet, and you are a king in Jesus Christ. You share that threefold office of our blessed Lord. So once again then, what is that royal office? As we look at what Jesus said, it's about service. It's not about the one who is served, but rather the one who serves. And so the Lord serves us. That's what you do when you love someone, you serve them. And so now if you and I share in that royal office with him, we serve him. Not because we're forced to, but because we love him. We serve him because we are kings and queens. Love, remember, is a reciprocal relationship. It's a two-way street. Our Lord loves us, and we have to open our hearts to receive that love, and then we have to choose to love him in return. But that's a choice we have to make. That's how we exercise our kingship, just as he exercised his and continues to do so. So again, the challenge, is he the king of my life? That's what we have to look at, every one of us, to be able to look deeply into our hearts and to ask that question. Because that's what our lives are all about. If he is going to be the king in our lives, that means we really need to strive to serve him out of love. It means that we need to follow, and we know, of course, where that following is going to lead, right up Calvary. And so do we want that? Are we willing to do that? Our king was willing to die for us. If you think about it as going into battle, he took on Satan, and he was willing to die for us so that we could live. Now the question is, do we have the loyalty? Do we have the charity to be able to say, I'm willing even to die for my king? He's my king, I will serve him, I will die for him, I will do whatever I need to do for him. Can we say that? That's the question every one of us has to look at. Again, if we're going to say that he's the king in my life, then let's make him the king of our lives. Not just give him lip service, because that's what the rest of creation can do. He is the king, as I said, of the whole universe, whether people want it to be or not. We have to make the choice. He is the king objectively, but now he's looking for a subjective choice on our part to say that I choose him to be my king. That's who I want to be the center of my life. That's the one whom I want to serve. That's the one whom I will follow. That's what this is all about. And so as we continue moving forward, deeper and deeper into the struggles and the darkness of the world, this is the choice that is absolutely necessary. Who are you going to serve? Everyone, absolutely everyone, must serve someone. And ultimately, that someone comes down to two options. It's either the Lord or it's Satan. There isn't an in-between. You can say, oh, I'll serve this or that or the other, but ultimately it comes down to one or the other. So who's going to be your king? Who are you going to love? Who are you going to serve? That's the question. So as we celebrate this beautiful feast of Christ the King, that's the question that is posed to each and every one of us. Who is going to be your king? Who is the center of your life? Pilate got it right. He put it right above our Lord's head, right above his royal throne, the cross. This is the King of the Jews. And what we want, right above our hearts then, is something very similar. This is the King of my life.